Father, I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord God. So like everywhere we turn, there are people going through and we're going through, Lord God. But Father, we declare that it is well with our soul because of you, the bread of life, because of you, Jesus Christ, it is well with our soul. Lord, we pray and we thank you because you have our tomorrow, oh God, and you have our next week and you have our next year and our next month, Lord God. So Father, we say today that it is well with our soul, Lord God, and we just commit, Lord God, to continue taking in the bread of life, that we would grow thereby, Lord God, that we would be strengthened, Lord God, in you, Lord God, that our days would be peaceful, Lord God, in spite of all the things going on around us, Lord God, I pray, let our days be peaceful. Let our days be full of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So we are continuing with the lesson, The Bread of Life. And this will be part two of, I believe we're on praying this name. Let me just check my heading here. Yes, we are. This is part two of praying this name. On the bread of life. And last week, just to recap what we talked about last week, we just talked about some different things, and we started talking about just the importance of taking in the word of God daily and why it was important, and we were talking about just some points on that. And first we talked about we discover that there's a fresh supply of heaven's nourishment available to us daily, and that nothing God has prepared for us is stale. And that's from page 165 of the book, saying that whatever God has for us, it is prepared for that day. And that, again, reiterates the importance of taking in your daily bread. Don't let it sit. Don't go without. Folks, and we talked about, we compared it to a person going without food, you know, and how you feel after you haven't eaten for several hours. And you know how you feel if you haven't eaten for a day, you know, you just feel weak. And that's the way your spirit man is. When you do not take in your daily bread, you're weak and you just can't function. So again, God never gives us anything that is stale. And we talked about that it's foolish and even dangerous to ignore God's intel. This is God's intelligence that is trying to tell you the things that are coming for the day. We went over the fact that he's Alpha and Omega. He already knows what you're going to face that day. So if you don't get the intel, you're going in blind. You're going in without the information you need to deal with the day. You know, sometimes when a scripture is coming to you in prayer, when God is emphasizing something in your spirit, it is because you're going to face something that day where you need to stand on that word, where you need to make a decision based on the word of God and not based on your feelings and not based on what you think, and not even based on your intellect. You know, when God is emphasizing something to you, pay attention. That is his intel. He's trying to prepare you so you make the right decision and don't make a bad decision because you didn't get that information. The military, they believe in that intel. They believe in finding out what's going on with the enemy before they send troops in. They want to find out what kind of weaponry he's using, where are they located, where are their strongholds. And God is doing the same thing for you. But you've got to take the time to listen and to take in God's intel. So that was the first part of it, that God prepares nothing stale, that it's important that you pay attention. Secondly, there is a need to gather up that fresh supply of nourishment every morning. It's a healthy, and that's from Exodus 16:14, where they were supposed to gather up that manna every day. A healthy habit of feasting on God's word requires discipline. And you've got to do it on purpose. You've got to understand right now, if you're going to be a strong Christian, you have got to implement discipline. You know, it's not going to just be passively, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm just going to feel like reading the word. Probably not. I'm just going to feel like praying. Probably not. It takes discipline. Someone told me discipline is this. Discipline is doing what you need to do when you need to do it to the best of your ability. I thought that was the best definition of discipline I ever heard. It is not based on your feeling. You know, discipline means that you're going to do it to the best of your ability when you need to do it. And feelings don't come into the picture. You get up and you take care of your children. If you had children, you have to get up and take care of that child. And that, when they were little especially, oh, when they got up, you got up, okay? And many, many times, I didn't feel like getting up, but I got up. That's discipline. You get up. You get up and you do what needs to be done. You go get up in discipline and you go to work. You get up because you know the repercussions or the consequences of you not showing up at work. So again, folks, you got to get serious about your faith. You got to get serious, and that means you got to be disciplined. You've got to make up in your mind, I've got to be disciplined about my faith. I can't be passive with it and, you know, just lackadaisical with it. I've got to do it on purpose. You've got to study on purpose. You've got to pray on purpose. You know, so it's got to be something that you do, and it has to be something that you know requires discipline. It's not going to happen by accident, says our book. Once again, we must revisit the things that keep us from feasting on God's word daily. And again, we have to look at this so seriously, our arrogance, even the subtle no need for God attitude, because it's subtle. We don't wake up saying, well, I don't need God today. We just don't take the time to pray. You know, it's subtle, but that's the attitude. I don't need to pray. I'm good. I've got this. I've got this meeting. I know I've got my car. I've got my gas. I've got my bank account. I don't need God. It's a subtle attitude of arrogance that we walk in. You know, when you ignore God, it's like, you know, I mean, you would not try to jump in your car without the car keys. Oh, you're going to find those car keys. Oh, you're going to, oh, because I know I cannot do anything without those car keys. But would you walk out the door without prayer? Would you walk out the door without reading the word? Oh, well, and we have to look at it honestly. It's an arrogance. It's an arrogance. I don't need God. All I need is my car keys. You know, and we have to really look at ourselves honestly. I mean, I'm including myself, looking at myself honestly, you know. What do I need when I get up in the morning? What do I pay attention to? What do I make sure gets done? You are not leaving that house without your clothes. You will make sure you have your clothes on, aren't you? So there are things that you know and you will make sure you have before you leave the house. But what about the Word of God? Is it, we have this subtle arrogance, I don't need it. I can do without it. So again, it's something that we each have to bring ourselves to before God, because that takes, because that's where the discipline piece is going to come in. I'm going to do this because God says to do it, you know, and I have to feed my spiritual man. So our attitudes need to be changed. Distractions, and I know there are distractions all around us. Distractions, distractions. And again, we have to discipline ourselves when it comes to distractions. You got to tell family members, you know what? I'm in my prayer time. I will deal with you when I come out. You know, if it's not life or limb threatening, I will deal with you when I come out of the closet of my prayer time, my prayer closet. And 90% of the time, it can wait, okay? Isn't it true? 90% of the time, it can wait. Nobody's going to die before you have your time. So again, you have to take charge and be disciplined when it comes to distractions. You know, I tell people, you control your life. Don't let your life control you. You know, don't let all these things that come in, the phone and all this stuff, and don't let that control you. And I know it's hard to do this day and time. As soon as you get a text, you want to, I got to read it. I got to see what's going to happen. And it's usually nothing. You know, something that could have waited. So again, folks, in this day and age, in 2017, we really have to work hard at discipline. We have to work really hard at it. We have to learn to quiet that stuff so we can press in. You know, your mind has already got a lot of stuff going on. You don't need this external stuff going on too. But at least the external stuff you can control a little better than you can if you're... Than your mind. But then the mind, that's another level of discipline. The thoughts that keep coming in your head. The thoughts. You know, oh, what am I going to do here? Oh, so-and-so needs this, and I got to make sure I do. The thoughts. Oh, folks. You know, sometimes you just need to sing a praise. You know, sometimes I just have to sing my prayer. you know, just to get the thoughts out of my head, let me just go into a worship and a praise before you, Lord. Because praise is prayer, because you're talking to God. Many songs that we sing are actually prayers. We're talking to God. We're worshiping Him. So if you need to go into a song, you know, if you need to put those headphones on your ears and play a praise and worship music, do it. That's discipline. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to get my mind on you. I'm not going to let anything, I know I've got a lot of stuff, but I'm going to take time because this is important. And I'll tell you, it will change your day. It will change your days. I'm a witness. It will change. It has changed my days when I just take that time to talk to God. I mean, it's like He does make the crooked places straight. You know, the things that I was so concerned about, oh my goodness, I got to go into this meeting and I got to deal with Janie and I know how she is, and God will just go in there and just make it all right. And you go in there like, thank you, Lord. You went before me. You know, you went before me because I went before you in this morning. And I took Janie before you this morning. So now when I'm going in the meeting, everything's okay. Everything is right. Folks, this is so critical. This is so critical to our salvation. And sloth, just the fact that we're just lazy. Just don't want to get up. You know, just want to pull those covers back over your head again. You know, just want to sleep that extra 10 minutes. Just want to hit that snooze as much as you can. You know. And the Spirit of the Lord is calling you to get up, to get up. I remember hearing one preacher says that he was so determined that he was going to pray, and he would keep falling asleep. He would get up early in the morning to pray, and he kept falling asleep. So he decided that he was going to stand on the edge of his bathtub, and there he was going to pray on the edge of his bathtub. And he said after he had fallen a time or two, oh, he learned to stay awake, you know, because he made a way. You know, he said, I'm determined. I'm going to talk to my Lord this morning, and I'm not going to even let sleep get in the way. You know, I'm going to discipline myself so I go to bed on time so I can get up and talk to the Lord, because this early morning meeting is important with God. This time with Him, so I'm going to make sure I go to bed. I'm going to make sure that I can get up. And I'm going to make that meeting. You know, when you have a 7 a.m. meeting or a 6 a.m. meeting, you make that meeting. It may have been unusual. Okay, I'm not used to it. But you make it, don't you? Because it's important. Well, make those meetings with Christ in the morning. Make those meetings. You know, that handout I gave you guys a while back, My Heart, Christ Home. And boy, if you read that handout again, it just talks about Christ waiting for you in your war room, or waiting for you in the prayer room. And the story talks about how so many times you just rushed out. You just rushed out, didn't even stop in to talk with Him in the morning, the story goes. And one day the person was rushing out, and they looked in and they saw that Christ was waiting there day after day after day as he rushed out and didn't take the time to make that meeting. So I implore you, make that first meeting in the morning. It'll change your day. So sloth, just getting past ourselves, and fatigue, those things go hand in hand. Yes, we do get tired. But again, you have to examine your schedule and see how you need to change things, because this meeting is important. So I'm going to have to change some things in my day so that I'm not so tired. You know, and of course, your brain is freshest in the morning. That's why, you know, the morning prayer is emphasized. Over and over, David talked about it in the Psalms, the morning prayer. Why? Because that's when your brain is at its best. In the morning, your brain actually gets reset after a night's sleep. You know how you felt when you went to bed last night? And how you feel when you get up in the morning? You feel better. You know, and I can get to the scientific piece of that. The neurotransmitters are replenished in your brain and all of that. But those are your best hours. Mm-hmm. The morning is your best hours, and you need to be giving your best hours to God. Okay? I mean, I'm not against nighttime prayer. I'm not against bedtime prayer. I think you should do that too. But that morning, there's something. Your brain is freshest. Your brain is clear. You know, you can hear God better. You know what you need to say. You have clarity. After you have slept, you have clarity. I determined, I said, Lord, I want to give you my best time of the day, not my leftovers, you know, after I'm just kind of dragging in and now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord stole the take. You know, there's no dialogue there. You know, you just, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's no dialogue. God wants to have a dialogue with you. You get that? He wants a dialogue. He wants you to be talking to him and he talking to you. And you only do that when you're alert, when you're ready to go. So I implore you, this piece on discipline is so important that you, and it's up to you to do it. No one can be disciplined for you. Discipline is when nobody's making you do it. You know, your children, when your children are young, you get them up for school, you get them on their way and stuff, but there comes a point in that child's life where they have to get up themselves and get on with what they need to do for that day themselves. That's when their discipline kicks in. So there comes a point where, you know, no one can be disciplined in your spiritual life for you. You have to do it yourself. So I implore you to do it. It will change your life. You know, even if it feels like a chore. It used to feel like a chore to me. It does not feel like a chore anymore. Because I'm telling you, when you start having that dialogue with Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, the things he speaks to me, you know, I mean, some mornings I'm like, you know what? I don't even know if I'm saved. Because I had such an attitude, Terry, such an attitude. And Jesus will come in and just remind me of scripture and tell me things. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I just got to repent right here because I'm the wrong one. I'm thinking Janie's wrong. No, Karen's wrong. Karen, the so-called child of God, is wrong. So we want to make sure that we do that. Each one of these things your handout says must be brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. They are first brought to Christ by our free will or our discipline, then subjected to him by the Holy Spirit. You can't do this in your own power. So that's why as you're praying, you're asking for his Holy Spirit to come overcome you so that you can submit to what he is telling you to do, to submit to the word of God. And that lesson is coming up, folks, the word of God. The key piece of this segment is daily. Many of us start out well, but time can ebb away our discipline. We start, the race, as the scripture says, you were running the race so well, who has held you back from following the truth? And that's from Galatians 5:7. So can you ask yourself this question and then honestly respond? What holds you back from following the truth? What keeps you from feeding on his bread every day? And it may be different for each of us. What keeps you? What's holding you back? What's the problem? You know? And sometimes it could be a person. You know, it could be a relationship. You just got to talk to that person. Listen, you know what? I will be a much better person, you know, if I can just have this time. You know, I'll be a much better wife if I could just have this time. I could be a much better husband if I could have this time. I could be a much better mommy if I could just have this time. Or a much better daddy if I could just have this time. You know, so sometimes you have to talk to people, and that's discipline. You know, and I think it impresses people that you take this seriously. You know, it's time out for us to be taking our salvation as some kind of joke or some kind of thing that we just do. You know, we're not really serious about it. We just do it. Time out for that, folks. Time out for that. We need to be serious about our faith, serious about our salvation. And that's where, and it begins in the prayer closet. As you begin in the prayer closet, you'll be more serious about it, you know, and more disciplined and be ready to go out there and deal with those demons that you deal with every day, you know, if you just take that time. We should take an important lesson from how our national leaders are sworn into office. Kings, queens of old, and even today's national leaders were and are required to keep the Bible close to them. That's something that came back way, even before the United States. You know, as you read about some of the old kings and the old queens and how, you know, that's how the church got so involved with government in the first place. you know, back in the old country, back in Europe, in the European countries, that's how the church got so involved in the, you know, and that's why when the United States was formed, there was a separation of church and state, because the church was so involved in government and leadership. You know, so because they were, the kings and queens were required to keep the Bible close to them. The Word of God keeps leaders from becoming cruel dictators who abuse the people in their charge. Do you understand that? That's why that they want the Bible close to leadership, because that Bible will keep them from being dictators and being abusing the people. When a U.S. president is sworn into office, he must place his hand on the Bible as a sign of commitment to lead the people under the leadership of God. His hand is literally resting on his daily bread as he begins the important task of leading and protecting the people he serves. Do you understand that? That's what that all is all about. I know we look at it as just a symbol today, but that's where it started. This is your daily bread. We want you, as our leader, reading this book so you know how to treat us and you know how to lead us. Because we don't need someone that's going to be cruel to us. We know God is love. So if you stay with the Word of God, then everything will be all right. In fact, I was doing some research yesterday on the use of Bibles in taking the oath of office for the U.S. president. And it said this: by convention, incoming presidents raise their right hand and place the left on a Bible or other book while taking the oath of office. In 1789, George Washington took the oath of office with an altar Bible borrowed from the St. John Lodge number 1. The ancient York Masons Lodge in New York. He kissed the Bible afterward.
Wow.
Subsequent presidents and up to and including Harry Truman followed suit. Dwight Eisenhower broke the tradition in 1953 when he said a prayer instead of kissing the Bible. So all those presidents from George Washington, after they took the oath of office, they actually kissed the Bible. And then Dwight Eisenhower broke the tradition when he actually said a prayer after he took the oath of office. You know, so this is history. This is true history. I know we don't talk about it, but this is our history here, folks. Theodore Roosevelt did not use a Bible when taking the oath in 1901, but John Quincy Adams and Franklin Pierce swore on a book of law with the intention they were swearing on the Constitution. Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in on a Roman Catholic missile, or on Air Force One, because that was after Kennedy's assassination, so they used what they had. Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump each swore the oath on two Bibles. So they had two Bibles that they swore the oath on. So you see, this is something that was always, the daily bread was always something that we wanted close to leadership. So that applies today, that, you know, even though people think it's just a symbol, it is so crucial to the proper functioning of a nation and the proper functioning of any type of leadership, is that you want that leader reading the Word of God. You want that leader. You don't want anybody that's not reading the Word of God, because if they're not reading the Word of God, they're liable to abuse you. We've seen that. We've seen leaders that abuse. As we see the condition of our nation today, we see what happens when leadership fails to take God's daily bread seriously. Decisions are made which defy the Word of God, and the nation falters. And as the scriptures speak the question, you were running the race so well. See, that's a question that can be posed to the United States of America. You were running the race so well. Who has interfered or prevented you from obeying the truth? Back to Galatians 5. You were doing so well. You were coming along. Yes, you had your problems. Yes, you had a lot of stuff you still needed to iron out, but you were coming along. But who hindered you? You know, so it's so important that we stay with it. In your handout, it says, from fathers and mothers to presidents and prime ministers. The word of God is critical to keeping us from abusing the people we have authority over. I'm telling you, parents, take this seriously. You need that daily bread. Don't assume just because you have children, you know how to raise them, and you know how to love them, and you know how to take care of them. The daily bread is what you need so that you can raise your children. I know I needed that daily bread for my son Matthew, boy, because I'm telling you, he drove me. That brother, man, he was like three children all in three. I needed Jesus to raise that one. You know, it keeps you. It keeps you in peace. It keeps you on the right track when you have authority over other people. Time and again, we have seen the results of leaders who reject the word of God. Human history is riddled with such characters who have rejected the word of God and led their people or families to destruction. You know, it may not be on a national level, even on a family level. The leader of the family, not living according to the word of God, and the whole family is ravaged because somebody did not, the leader, the leadership, the one that had the authority, did not obey the word of God. They may start out well, but in time they stop taking in the daily bread, they fail to pray, and in the end, they are in ruins. This is critical. I hope you all are just really seriously taking this in. The Bible is a priceless document for leaders. Even if you falter in believing in the God who backs it up, the wisdom it gives to leaders and followers alike are invaluable. It is truly mankind's daily bread. Even if you falter in your belief, in your faith in God, I'm telling you, that book is full of wisdom. I'm telling you, it's a book of Proverbs alone. I mean, just tells you how to live and how to interact properly and appropriately with people so that you prosper and you do well and they do well, which is what we all want. You know, so again, that daily bread is so important. Finally, each day required a new supply of divine nourishment. This is from your book in page 166. The key word in this aspect of the daily bread is requirement. There was a reason God did not allow the manna to last another day except on the Sabbath. A daily encounter with his daily bread is required for our spiritual health and overall well-being, just as food and air is required for us daily. So now personally toward you, the daily bread is required for you. You need it. It's so God loves you. He wants you to have a good day. You know, so he requires it so you're not walking around in anxiety all the time. And you're not walking around in fear. I run into people that they're just always so jumpy and so edgy and so worried about everything and every little thing. Well, you know, do we make sure we do that? Do we do that? I'm like, you know, work with a few people like that. What about this? And what if this? And what if that happened? I'm like, just be at peace. We'll be all right. You know, we've survived all this time, you know, and God has had us. But God wants you to take in his daily bread so you won't walk around like that. You can enjoy the day. Have you ever been to a season of just worry, 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 and then when the time came, it was all right? You have just wasted all that time. I remember I spent an entire Christmas break because I couldn't do anything with this situation until Christmas break was over. And I spent the entire Christmas break just worried, just worried, just worried. Couldn't enjoy Christmas. Just worried about this situation. Oh, what's going to happen in January? Oh, my goodness. And they're going to have that meeting in January. What's going to happen? And it was fine. God had sent people ahead of me to just take care of the situation. It was fine. And the Lord taught me something. He said, see, you wasted all that time you could have been at peace. All that time you could have been enjoying your family. All that time you could have been enjoying life. And instead you're full of anxiety. You know, because again, that daily bread was for me. The examples in the physical realm make this principle crystal clear. God laid it out for us in our own bodies. If, you know, you grow weaker, and I said, we've already said this, it should be weaker and not weak. You grow weaker hour by hour if you do not eat. Most of human society is based on the need for 3 meals daily as the body demands it. You know, eating is not optional. You know, it's not. It's not optional. You have to eat or you're going to die. How much more should we meet the demands of our souls and spirits for nourishment? How much more? Beloved, days spent without God's word are weak indeed. And that's from our book. And you know what, folks? You can tell when a soul is starving for nourishment. You can tell when a soul is starving for nourishment. The attitudes of that person, the behavior of that person, it gives them away. You know, you can tell when somebody's praying. I can tell. You know, now that I've learned how to pray, I can tell when someone's praying, when somebody's not. You know, and the people that need prayer, they're going to be attracted to you. You know, you're going to find that when you start praying, there are going to be people that's going to be attracted to you because they know, oh, I'm going to go to Connie, pray, Judy, pray, you know, because they can pray, you know, but they want you to pray.
Yes.
Because they feel like they got a little trail to God, but you got a major highway. That's the way that works. See, you took the time to make your major highway, and they got a little trail to God. So a little rocky trail. That's the way that is. So they come to the people when they have a serious problem, honey, they're going to seek out the prayer warriors. Oh, I'm going to find somebody. I know people like that. They will seek you out, honey. They haven't talked to you in months, but they will seek you out when they need prayer because they know you can tell the soul that is well fed and the spirit that is well fed, and you can tell the soul that is starving and hasn't been fed. It's weak. You know, it's riddled with all kind of things. The attitude, the behaviors are there. They're irritable. They're frustrated. So again, you don't want to be that kind of person. You don't want to be walking around starving, because I'm telling you, the enemy does not care. He will beat you up, you know? It was like you starving, you haven't eaten in 5 days, and then somebody comes with a sword ready to fight with you, and you're like, you know what, I just don't have any, can we do it next week after I get a, Satan, no, uh-uh. Satan is not going to come back next week. He's like, oh, I've got you in a weakened state, so I'm taking you down right now. That's the way he is. He doesn't care, you know. So again, you got to consider the state that you're in. I'm convinced that so many bad and poor decisions are made by people when their soul is starving. And they make bad decisions, and they make poor decisions. Christians, I'm talking Christians. Poor decisions. Families break up. I think people fall into affairs because soul is starving. And they make these terrible decisions. And you look at them and you're like, what were you thinking? Why would you? I saw that spirit coming a mile away. And you didn't see that spirit coming at you? You didn't see that person flirting with you? I'm like, I saw that a mile away. Why didn't you see it? Spirit starving. And we make those bad decisions. The flesh rises up, and the flesh wants what the flesh wants. And the spirit is not strong enough to keep it subdued. So there you go. And the enemy's right there egging it on. So again, you just want to be that person where your spirit is being fed, and you're constantly in prayer. I'm understanding that scripture, pray without ceasing. I didn't always understand that scripture, but I'm understanding it. Pray without ceasing. Always be in prayer. You know, as I said, you get a minute to walk down the hall at work, just be talking to God. You know, always be in prayer and praise. Keep complaints off your lips no matter what happens. You know, I'm trying. And sometimes I slip. I was repenting this week because I was complaining about my insurance company. And I was just so upset with them and frustrated with them. You know. By the way, those of you that have been to my house before, it's been painted. It's Adobe. Did I say that already? It's Adobe. It's adobe color with a green, the garage door is dark green, okay? So just, so it's gonna look different. So look for $319, okay? So it looks different, okay? So I'm talking about, okay, I'm going back to the insurance company, and I was complaining, and I had to repent and ask God to stop complaining, because through it all, everything came out fine. Everything came out okay. And I was reminded of this story about this woman that came out of the grocery store carrying her groceries, and she tripped and she fell. And I've told the story before here. And she dropped all her groceries everywhere, and she's picking up her groceries, just praising the Lord. Lord, I just thank you. I just praise you. You know, and this man heard her, you know, and he's helping her pick up her groceries. And he goes, Why are you praising God with that, the fact that you dropped all your groceries, you tripped and you fell? She goes, well, I praise God that I didn't hurt myself really badly. I didn't break a leg. He goes, what if you would have broken your leg? He said, well, I would be praising God that I didn't hit my head and crack my head open. And, you know, he goes, well, what if that would have happened? What if you would have fell and cracked your head open? And she goes, well, I would be praising God that I didn't die. And he goes, what if you would have died? And she goes, I'd be in heaven praising God. So, folks, there's no place, there's no moment, there's no situation where you should not be praising God. Okay, because there's always something to be grateful for. You know, I'm like, Lord, I just praise you. I praise you. I praise you for the insurance company, Jesus. I praise you. Because they are putting a new roof on my house. But I just praise God, and you gotta keep that, because we live in a world where there's so many things that can pull you away from the praise and from the worship and from the prayer. And again, that daily bread keeps you. That daily bread will draw you back to where you were, you know, even though something will happen and you'll be like, and the daily bread will draw you right back. Wait a minute. This is how we are. This is who we are. We're children of the living God. And we're an example. We're not like everybody else. We're not going to act like everybody else, even in business situations. And even in, you know, we have our rights, and, you know, and even though you're supposed to and you're obligated to, be careful, because you're a light. You're a light to that person on the other side of the phone. You're a light to that person in that business office. You know, sometimes we see them as just people that are doing a job, but those are souls that Jesus loves. And you're the light. You may be the only light they see. They may not be going to church. They may not be in Bible study. So you're the only light that they see. You know, so again, you know, again, a seriousness about how we behave. So we continue to praise God. So Lord, let me be like this lady who was taking in her daily bread to the point where praise was always on her lips. Psalms 34:1, David says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So that's what happens when you have that daily bread, praise always on your lips. The next point in your lesson says, without your daily bread, you become off task. You know, just off. Have you ever had a day where you're just off task? You will find it hard to love people. I mean, everybody just getting on your nerves. And you find it hard to love, and oh my goodness, to forgive and to have compassion on others. Oh my goodness, the person that just cut you off. To forgive somebody. You're easily frustrated. You can't serve the purposes of God for the day, and therefore the day is wasted. And I know you don't see it that way, but you need to see it that way. When you don't take in your daily bread and you're having an off day like this, the day is wasted, because you cannot plant seeds for God that way. You cannot, you know. If anything, you're going to be planting other types of seeds, but not the seeds for our Lord. You know, you want to be planting seeds, and people look for consistency, and people look for stability. You can't be happy, smiley Christian Katie the Christian on Monday, and then Tuesday, you Katie with an attitude. You know, because people are like, well, what kind of Jesus is this? Is he up and down? You know, no, we serve a Savior that's always on. He's never off task. We get off task. So we have to make sure that we're staying stable. You know, and when you need the strength to hold it in, you know, then ask the Lord. He'll be right there. He's never like away from you. He's never in a place where he's inaccessible. So all it takes is for you to ask, Lord, I missed you this morning, but Lord, I'm asking you would help me make it through this day, Lord. I don't want to plant any bad seeds. I don't want to waste the rest of the day, Lord God. I may have wasted the morning, but Lord, let me get the afternoon and the evening right, Lord God. So you can correct that thing immediately, and you can start planting seeds in the hearts of people. So you don't want your day to be wasted. If this continues, your life fails to carry out your destiny in God. Being a believer is not enough to carry out your destiny in God. And you got to understand that. Yes, you've accepted Jesus Christ, but you need more than that. You need the Holy Spirit. Remember, you know, the disciples, you know, they hung out with Jesus. You know, they were with Jesus. But after the resurrection, something new happened with them. You know, first they said Jesus came to them and they received, and Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes a difference. Then he said, go and wait in the upper room until you come down and you're baptized with this, the Holy Spirit. Because you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can make a change. And I always love the example of Peter. You know, Peter before the resurrection, Peter was running people. Peter was scared. Peter denied Christ 3 times. But after the resurrection, Peter was the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. Peter was ready to die and did die for the cause of Christ. And the difference was the Holy Spirit. So you have to, that's something that comes in your daily bread, is that you get the Holy Spirit to help you. God's destiny for you requires his daily bread. Your talents, your family connections, your popularity cannot do it. And I'm telling you, stop resting on that stuff. Stop resting on how good you are at talking to people and how good you are and how popular you are and how good, you know, and I really want to hit the sanguines, you know. I'm going to hit you sanguines in the room. You know, you popular, friendly, you know, people, and you're so used to people responding to you, you know, because that's just your personality. But you need to submit your personality to Jesus Christ. If you're going to really make some strides, that Holy Spirit needs to get a hold of that, because sometimes we lean on that more than we lean on the Holy Spirit. You know, whatever your thing is, you know, the melancholy, you deep thinkers, you know, you're very intellectual and you know how to break down an argument and you know how to do this. Again, don't lean on that. Lean on the Holy Spirit. You know, don't lean on your skill and your technique and how well you do things. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's the foundation of our arrogance, is our intellect and our abilities and our popularity and how we can, you know, how we can work a room. You know, we know how to work a room, and by the time we're done, everybody in the room loves us and we like that. But we gotta lean on the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes you work in a room, but you ain't working the room for Jesus. You work in the room for you. You know. So again, we gotta get a hold of that. As I said, this is a serious lesson where we really want to take ourselves and sit ourselves down with Jesus and have a good talk about how we are and what we need to work on first. Okay, Lord, this I need to work on. Because I need to be leaning on you more. I need to be taking in your daily bread and not leaning on my talents and my connections and my popularity. Even your past accomplishments cannot do it. Only continuous relationship with the bread of life will get you to the finish line. Do you hear that? You know, some of us lean on our past accomplishments. Well, I got this degree and I got that degree and I've done this and I've built that. Folks, it's a mistake. Don't lean on it. Because that's when you let down your guard. That's when you stop taking in your daily bread and your soul is weak. But because you've done all this stuff, you think you can rest on it. And that's when the enemy will come in and deceive you. I tell people this all the time. It is never more dangerous. You're never more in a dangerous position than after you've just had a success. You are in a dangerous situation right then, because your mind is going to say, okay, now you can rest on your laurels. You don't have to pray today, girl. Look what you just did yesterday. Look at what was just accomplished. Oh, man, you really took that speech down, man. You really Be careful. I implore you, if you've had a great success recently, press into prayer, because the enemy is going to be right there, because he knows you. He knows humanity. He knows we're prideful creatures, and we get lifted up because we did something, you know, and all full of pride. And when you're all full of pride, you're not full of his Holy Spirit, folks. Oh boy, I was just listening to that humility. Somebody gave me that CD on humility from Andrew Murray. One of you guys gave it to me, but I was listening to it, and boy, there's one part that was saying that if there's any of pride in me, then there could be nothing of heaven in me. And boy, that was so powerful. He said, if there's anything of pride in me, then there can be nothing of heaven in me. And I'm like, wow, wow. But that is so true. We've got to, don't rest on your laurels. You keep pressing toward the daily bread every day. I got to read my word. I know I just had that success yesterday, but I got to get up. I got to do my prayer like I always do. I got to get into my word like I always do, so I'm not deceived today because of yesterday, you know, because boy, isn't that sad? Sometimes we can be deceived today because of what happened yesterday. We want to say like the apostle said at the end of our lives, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Okay? You don't want to stop the race halfway through. You want to finish it, and you want to remain faithful until you see Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Timothy 4:7. And faithfulness and loyalty to Christ will only come through his daily bread. You know, because sometimes we can be so disloyal to Jesus Christ. So disloyal. You know, I was just thinking, I'm going to be transparent here. I was in Atlanta in May, and my daughter was with me, and she was talking with my sister, and they were talking about some artists, and you know, and I didn't know who this artist was. And I was like, who is that? Who is that? And they looked at me like, oh, you don't know who so-and-so is. And then my daughter made this comment, all she listens to is Christian music. And you know, I felt bad. I got offended. I don't just listen to Christian music. I listen to other music sometimes, you know. And I, you know, because I felt like, you know, I was like, and the Lord dealt with me about that. Like, why are you defending the fact that you listen to Christian music? So what? You know, I'm like, oh God. I said, you know, Jesus, I was just disloyal to you, wasn't I? I'm like embarrassed that they're saying that I listen to Christian music all the time. Like I don't listen to anything else. And so what? I didn't know who this artist was. But the Lord dealt with me on that. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you defending that? Why are you trying to say that you don't listen to, when your daughter has the impression that this is what you listen to all the time? Why are you trying to change that in front of her? Why are you trying to say something else? And the Lord just dealt with me. I'm like, oh Lord, it's because I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be, I wanted to be hip and cool. I wanted to know who the latest artist was. You know, I just wanted to be, you know, I didn't know who it was, but I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to be part of the group, part of the gang. Yes. But the Lord caught me on that. He checked me on that. Why? Why would you not want to identify with the fact that you listen to music that praises me all the time? And that's the way people see you. Why are you trying to change that impression? I mean, just subtly, disloyal. Just wanted to kick Jesus to the curb for a second. So I had to repent. I'm like, Lord, you're right. So again, the daily bread. So we want to remain faithful, and we want to remain loyal to our Christ and to our God with the daily bread. Consider the life of Saul. Your handout says, consider the life of King Saul. in Samuel, 1 Samuel 9 through chapters 9 through 16, it talks about his life. He began well. He was chosen by God to be the first king of Israel. He was anointed by the prophet of God to lead. Saul began his leadership with a spirit of humility, hearing and obeying the word of God. But then he turned away from the instructions or the word of God or the bread of life, and his life turned toward purposelessness. As Saul continued along his path, God eventually rejected him. It should be rejected him from being king. And you'll see that in 1 Samuel 16:1. Boy, that's a sad place to be. You started out well. You're leading the people. God gave you a position. You know, God's blessing you. And you start out real humble and wanting to listen and wanting to learn. And you get to a point where you're arrogant and you're going to do it your way. You know, as you guys remember the story of Saul and how he was told to wipe out this entire nation, but he kept the best animals and he kept the king alive and he was doing all this thing, and the prophet Samuel shows up and says, what's going on here? You know, God told you to wipe them all out. And then King Saul says to him, but we did wipe them out. And Samuel says, well, what is this bleeding of the sheep I hear? I see sheep bleeding, and what is the king doing here? God told you to wipe them all out, to get rid of all of this. Oh, but I was going to take the sheep, and I was going to sacrifice it to God. And that's where that famous scripture came from, obedience is better than sacrifice. God prefers you to obey him than to come up with your own new plan on how you're going to sacrifice to God later on. Again, failing to have that daily bread and failing to stay with the word of God can lead you to ruin. And we all know the end of Saul. He was ruined. He finally threw himself on his own sword. He was so ruined. His son died. His lineage to the throne of Israel was gone forever, because a leader that did not stay with the word of God. Folks, it happens all over. This is a story that repeats itself over and over and over again, from families to nations. It happens that because the leadership doesn't stay with the daily bread. And again, those of you that have authority over people, and I think it's probably most of these people in the room, you know, you got to understand, it's not just about you. Your daily bread is not just about you. It's about the people under you. You know, Jonathan was lost because his dad didn't do what he was supposed to do. You know, God said, I rejected Saul from being king, and he brought in David. That's when King David came into the picture. So you have to think about that when you're leading somebody. Get in your word and read. It's not just for you. It's for them, that you're protecting your children and your children's children. Folks, generation after generation is depending on you to be a leader that knows the word of God, so you can lead them right, you know, and so that they can, you know, so that they can prosper and they can go on. It's not just about you. So this can be a case for any one of us if we neglect the daily bread. God raises up and God takes down. You know, God can raise you up and God can bring you down. Don't think you're so high that God cannot bring you down. You know, so many have come down. I can never forget what happened with the PTL club back in those years ago. You know, what happened with Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. Thank God he's been restored. But I'll never forget that. I couldn't understand why God let his people be exposed like that on national TV. I thought God would cover them and God would, you know, but I'm telling you, I was like, it taught me a good lesson about God, that he's holy and he will not be compromised and he will not be corrupted. And if you are sinful, oh, he will expose your stuff. He'll deal with you and deal with you. He dealt with Saul and dealt with Saul. But at some point, if you won't repent, oh, he's going to expose your stuff, because he loves you. Not because he's, you know, it's because he loves you. The only way we can deal with this is that I have to expose you, and also because there are others that are following you. There's others that are underneath you. Saul had to go. A disobedient king that will not serve God had to go. You cannot lead my people if you will not serve me. So God will take you out of the way and bring in somebody that will serve him for the sake of his people. So that's the way that is, and that's the way that still is today. So, and I've already said this at the last point on your lesson, a warning after the blessing. Do not forget God and his daily bread. Do not forget the bread of life, Jesus Christ. As the scriptures have spoken, pray without ceasing. And we've already talked about that. You know, when the blessing comes, be careful. Keep praying. Finish your course and keep the faith, folks. Finish your course and keep the faith. Don't rest on your laurels. So any comments or questions? Okay, I'll hit Virginia.
That scripture I was looking for, where it says the Lord will expose everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does anybody know it right offhand where it's at? I don't know where it's at. I was looking for
I'm not
it.
Sure.
But I know that it's here,
okay,
and I don't have the address.
I'll check on it.
Is a while ago you said these leaders and all these guys that are up there putting their hand on the Bible and this and that. And then you made the remark that it had said, or another book.
Mm-hmm.
What other books?
What other books?
Sometimes, like one of the presidents, he used a book of the law instead of the Bible. I think it was it Harry? One of them used a book of the law to designate or to emphasize that he would uphold the Constitution of the United States. But in general, they use the Bible. In fact, I was looking on YouTube the other day at the swearing in of Donald Trump, and they clearly had his hand was clearly on a Bible, said Holy Bible.
And yet, when you think about it, we could have 50 Bibles and put our hands on it, and if we have a heart of coal,
yeah.
What difference does it make how many Bibles we put our hand on if we're not being led by God and His Holy Spirit?
Yeah,
not that we don't mess up and we're trying mm-hmm. to be perfect, but at least try to follow it to the best
mm-hmm.
and that we can, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's the point, that you know you have it there. The people have made this a part of the ceremony,
uh-huh,
that you put your hand on the Word of God as a symbol that you will lead them according to this word.
Okay.
You know, so that's the whole point. But if you do not take in that daily bread, guess what?
You can't.
You
lead
still
if
falter.
You can't, if you can't lead, if you aren't following
right
the main source.
King Saul had the word. King Saul had the prophet of God around him, but yet he decided to go another way. So you saw his end. So that was the whole point, is that you have to, that daily bread is important. You know, it's you know, people look at it as a symbol and they're missing the point that this is crucial to the success of your leadership. So.
In all areas, huh?
In all areas, in all areas. Okay, did someone have a comment over here? Okay.
I was thinking of the story where you were telling about the lady that fell down the grocery store. I have a sister who's quite sick and she has liver issues. Anyway, she went to see her. She insisted she wanted to see the siblings with her. And so we all got together and we went to see her in Denver. And that week that we went to see her, it was the most depressing thing I'd ever seen, because there was no communication. She was just like a zombie. I mean, nothing went right. It was very hurtful. So another month had passed by, and in the process, they moved her from a physical therapy place to now she's in a nursing home and hospice is involved. And all of a sudden, she became alert. When we seen her, she was like a zombie, no reaction whatsoever. And then now, she was calling people to get her out of the place.
Wow.
And the nurse got home. My sister called my brother Rick, which happened to be at my house that day, and he says, "Sis, Eleanor's waiting for me in front of the nursing home for me to go pick her up." And I says, "How did she get to the front door of the nursing home?" So I got concerned, and they had her retractor down, so they were But I told the nurse, she called me back to reassure me that everything was okay. And I sort of laughed about it, and she couldn't understand why. And I said, you know what? After seeing my first visit with her, it was very heartbreaking to know that she had became alert and alive, trying to escape. Wow. I was happy because she was talking, she was moving that wheelchair, she was finding every direction to get out, and she had it twice that day. They found her by the ambulance
service. Did you all pray with her?
I prayed with her the first time. We haven't been to see her since she's been in the nursing home. But the nurse could understand, and I just explained to her, you know what, I said, sometimes what we think of something negative and not good can be good. In my eyes, it was good because I knew she had, she was doing the opposite of what she was the first time.
Wow.
And so, and I just thought, when you were telling the story about that lady falling.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, the nurse told me, she says, I'll just let you be aware. So keep my sister in prayer.
Yes.
That her mind is slowly leaving because she's getting dementia and things are settling in.
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't mean to be sarcastic. I told the nurse, I don't think it's funny. But after if you've gone through what us as siblings had seen her a month ago, to us it was a blessing to see her.
Yes, up and about.
Up and about and doing what she was doing, even though she was trying to escape you, so I was still okay.
Yes. Sometimes it's just a presence, you know, you guys just bring in the presence of God in there.
Keep my sister in prayer.
Okay, we'll do.
You know, the Lord taught us from the very beginning that we need the daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
When the apostles asked him to teach him to pray, and he taught him the Our Father. And what does the Our Father say? Give us
our daily bread. Give us this day.
And it just really sets my heart that this is what he wants us to do, and do it every day.
Yes.
Just come before him, and he'll lead us and guide us.
Yes. Amen. As we talked about the Lord's Prayer, you know, that Jesus deliberately put that in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, they go hand in hand. Yeah. The kingdom cannot come unless we take in our daily bread. So it's so important. You know, we can change the world. We can change this community. You know, as we take in our daily bread, as we go out into the world, you know, it doesn't come by, you don't have to stand on a street corner passing out tracts like we used to do back in the day. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying you run into souls every single day, you know. You know, even if you're staying at home, who was ever in that house, you know, minister to that person. But as you go out in the community, as you go into Walmart, as you go into Safeway, there are souls there. You know, as you check out, you're going to have to talk to somebody before you leave Safeway. You're going to have to talk to that cashier, you know. So even just being pleasant, you know, and how's your day going? You know, well, great, you know, and, you know, just things that the Holy Spirit will tell you to do at that moment. You know, that person, they got a big old name tag there. You can call them by name. Hey, Kay, how you doing today? You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, just talking to people. You know, I just find that people need that. People need love. People need that daily bread that's in you and your call to just let it out. Let it out. It'll make the difference. Your attitude just comes up a level or two when you take in that daily bread and you're not just, oh, let me get my groceries. Let me just... You know, I thought that was on sale, you know, that kind of thing. It's just more, you're just pleasant. You know, they've had that all day from everybody else. But when a child of God comes through, it should be different. Oh, it's not on sale. Okay, well, just go ahead and I'll just get it anyways. Or, you know, I'll just put it back. You know, don't be like the others. You know, you're a child of the King. You know, so again, it's a matter of how important it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It will come as we let out that daily bread. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for the daily bread, Lord God. We thank you that you left us this document called your holy word, Lord God. To this day, it stays on the New York Times bestseller list for a reason.
Yes,
and it is because, Lord God, it is our daily food, Lord God. It is our owner's manual, Lord God. It shows us how to live, how to interact with each other, Lord God, how to be, Lord God. So, Lord, we just pray that we would take it more seriously, that we would take it more consistently, that we would take it daily, Lord God. And we pray for our leaders, Lord God. We pray for those that have put their hands on the Bible, Lord God, whether they be justice of the peace, judges and lawyers, senators, congressmen, governors, Lord God, president, oh God, that they have put their hands on this sacred document, oh God, as a symbol that they would lead the people according to it, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would remind them, Lord God, of the daily bread, Lord God, that they would read it, that they would take it in and they would implement it, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that this nation would change, Lord God, as we, your people, take in your daily bread, Lord God. I cast down arrogance and I cast down pride. I cast down things that we put our hope in instead of your daily bread, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, I pray we won't look at our skills. We don't look at our talents, Lord God, but we will look to your word, oh God, as we go into our day. Oh, Lord God, that you would make the crooked places straight, Lord God. I pray you would manifest yourself to everybody in this room, Lord God. I pray manifest yourself as they take in your daily bread, Lord. I know you will, Lord God, because you are faithful who promise, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we continue to expect you. In Jesus Christ, the bread of life's name, we pray. Amen.